Welcome to the DAO of WoW, which is a podcast about the intersection of technology, society, and internet culture with a dash of philosophy and art for good measure. My name is Doug Belshaw.
Hello, I'm Laura Hilliger. This podcast season is currently partially unfunded. You can support this podcast and other We Are Open projects and products at opencollective.com/weareopen.
So this is season 9 of this here podcast, and this podcast season is kind of an antidote to the last podcast season, which was getting all academic. So season 8, if you haven't listened to it yet, was us being more planned than usual and getting guests on and synthesizing stuff and putting on our little mortar boards and pretending to be academics. This season is a bit of an experiment with us just having a bit of a ramble chat. We might have guests, we might not, who knows. And we're going to put a bunch of links of stuff that we've come across on the internet over the last kind of week or so. We're currently recording this on Thursday, the 18th of January, and we're just going to have a bit of a ramble chat, aren't we, Laura?
I feel like it's a good idea because the season 8, it was great. We had great guests. We really like nerded out around literacy and literacies. We actually had an academic paper that paired with the podcast season and was published in the Journal for Media Literacy. And had a guest host, and yeah, it was super planned. So I am up for fun, random. I don't know. Let's just let's see what we got on our list, and then talk about it.
Well, let me throw this one at you first of all. So Matt Jukes, who's been on our podcast before, he shared last week a post called "I use this, carry that, and wear them," which is kind of in the same vein as Lifehacker's How I Work series that uses this website, which I love. And so he's just listed all of the hardware he uses and the software and the stationery and the stuff that he carries around and his quote-unquote uniform, the stuff that he wears quite a lot. So do you want to kick things off by telling us what you use on a daily basis in terms of hardware and software and all that kind of jazz?
I feel like you were going to ask me, what are you wearing?
That would be weird.
It would be super weird, especially because like my wardrobe has been the same for about 15 years. So I got a hoodie on, I got a pair of jeans on, you know, t-shirts. I really just don't try, I guess. So you're welcome, listener. That's what I'm wearing, a hoodie. Neat. Stuff I use. Yeah, I have been... You know, I have some things I want to replace this year. So I was very late to the ebook scene. I did not buy an ebook reader until, well, what happened was I used to carry books with me whenever I went to conferences, and I used to go to conferences a lot. And then I started to buy books when I was away. You and I, Doug, have been in many a bookstore together. I have a lot of books. I love books. I read a lot. And so I got my first e-reader in 2018 and I'm still using it. And I've noticed it's a Kobo or a Hydro Aura 2 or something like that. I don't even remember. And it's great, except that because it's from 2018, it started to be not that reliable. So it doesn't remember my pages. I can't switch pages very easily. It's sort of starting to get a little bit annoying to read on. So I want to give.
I think it's fascinating that you went straight to reading. For example, Matt's gone straight to his like work laptop, and that's possibly what I would do. I'd go straight to like the device that I'm talking to you on and things. But you went straight to an e-reader, which is interesting to me.
I think it's. I'm leaning more into the writer side of me the last year or so. So I read more than I used to. And in terms of like, you know, I mean, geez, I got my first 4K monitor in like September of last year, and I just got a second one for my office, 4K. And you've been making fun of me for not having a proper monitor for a while, but I'm just like, I think it's because I replace stuff when it breaks as opposed to upgrading because tech has changed.
Well, I'm not going to comment on Laura's age, but I would suggest to anyone listening to this, as soon as you hit 40, make sure you've got the highest resolution screen you possibly can.
Wow. Really? It's an age thing. I don't know. I feel like it's, well, I think it's more of a, like, you work with this piece of technology every single day. It's okay if you upgrade maybe more than once a decade, which is my old monitor I bought literally in 2008.
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit of a monitor nerd, it turns out, at this point. So I did have a Dell 4K monitor that I bought pre-pandemic, which was great. But my son said didn't do enough hertz for gaming on or whatever. So next to me is the gaming monitor, which we use for the PlayStation with HDR and crazy refresh rates and all that kind of stuff. But the one that I use right now, and I'm looking at you through, and I look at most of my life, is an Apple Studio display, which I have paired with my Apple Studio Mac. So I ran Linux for years and years and years and years and years. But I decided I just wanted things to work all the time reliably. So I use this, and then I'm out the house because I can't be bothered configuring a Mac when I'm like separate to my main Mac. I run a Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Titanium, I think, with Chrome OS. What's it called? The one where you can just install any device? Remix or something? Anyway, it just works. I open it up. I have all the privacy browsers on and all that kind of stuff, all the privacy extensions. And then I use that when I'm outside the house. I use that for like my MSC work. And when I'm in here, like an Apple Studio device, like a Mac Studio, is so overkill for the kind of work I do. But it means I never have to wait. And I'm an impatient person.
Well, now you just said my MSC work, but I'm not sure that our listeners actually are aware that you have decided out of boredom, I think, but possibly out of something else, to go back to school and have just started another master's in systems thinking at the Open University. So congratulations to you for continuing your education and going after another degree.
Well, that's pretty cool. When I was about, I was thinking about doing a master's the first time around, and a friend of my mother's said, don't think about how intelligent you have to be to do postgraduate study. Think about how stupid you have to be for spending time and effort on doing something. It's not to do with intelligence. It's got to do with determination. And so, yeah, it is a little bit to do with boredom, but also it's not made to do with boredom. It's made to do with just thinking that it's like it's the natural progression from all of the different kinds of stuff that I've done in my career to date. And Laura, you would love it as well. It's just that it's a lot of work. Like, I reckon this MSc is the most part-time postgraduate work I've ever had to do.
And I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but you did tell me that part of the motivation was because you don't yet have a Master's of Science degree. Yeah. You've got Master's of Arts degrees.
I said that a little bit flippantly, to be fair. So yes, I've got a Master's in, I've got a BA Honours in Philosophy. I've got an MA in Modern History, which I almost got a distinction in, but I didn't get on well with my supervisor, and he gave me the exact number of marks to balance out the external examiner, so I didn't get a distinction because he was an arse. I've got a postgraduate teaching qualification in teacher qualification in history, and I've got a doctorate in education, and now I'm doing this MSc. And what I would say is, it doesn't make you any happier.
Yeah, no, I honestly, like, listeners, I was last year toying with the idea about getting another master's. I went all the way through the rigmarole of getting accepted to a program that was outside of my field of specialization. I was going to go after a master's in creative writing. And then right when I had to push the button to make the first payment so that I would be able to start at exactly the same time that you did, Doug, I had a thought, a series of thoughts that made me decide not to do it. So instead of spending my determination and time on a creative writing qualification, I've actually just been writing more, which is, you know, good, I guess. I should share some of the writing I've been doing. I've been sitting on some things and I don't put them anywhere because I'm not sure what I want to do with them.
Well,
why?
Listeners might not have even read your Maybe Zombies book yet. So,
you know, at some point that's going to be outdated. When I wrote it a number of years ago, I think I finished it in 2017 or 18. I was like, oh, look at all this technology knowledge I have. Augmented reality, contact lenses, woo. And now it's like, you know, everybody's like looking at the actual state of technology and my stuff's going to feel like it was written in the 70s.
Well, I guess, would you ever use, not AI to write some of your novel, but like to as like a writing companion?
I don't think so, because I would use it to help with research, possibly. But actually writing, basically everything that I've asked AI to write for me is so generic and ridiculous that I find it embarrassing and that I, you know, that I wouldn't, like, for the creative writing stuff, fiction stuff, that I just, like, my brain is so much more interesting than anything that AI is gonna spit out. I think the human emotion bit of it is actually quite important in creative writing.
So I was someone emailed me a while ago, since the new year, of something which I must have mentioned on LinkedIn or somewhere about training an LLM, a large language model, on my own blog. Not because I wanted to replace me in writing, because I enjoy doing that, but mainly because, as you know, and as you do as well, I forget stuff I've written. And so I have to like search my name and a topic. And I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote about that in 2017 and stuff. And I'd like to be able to ask an AI assistant that, but I don't want to keep putting all of my data into maybe OpenAI and stuff. In fact, this week on a community call, we we made a GPT using ChatGPT Pro or Plus, whatever it's called, for this open recognition toolkit. And I thought, oh, I could do that or whatever. And that prompted me to have a look at ones you can run on your own device. Mm-hmm. And so I'll put a link in the show notes about LM Studio, which allows you to discover, download, and run local like LLMs.
They're not as good. Have you tried it out?
Yeah, they're not as good. It doesn't feel like interacting with
yourself.
no, like, you know, when you, this might sound a bit stupid, but you know, like when you interact with ChatGPT, obviously there's nothing there. But it feels like it's got some kind of personality. Whereas this is like very, like I've tried a two or three different models. It just feels very like this is a stupid machine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the links that you just put on the pad. So, we'll include everything we mentioned here, dear listeners. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried out.
I'm going to mention some other stuff. So things that I've got that people might be interested in. I've got this gigantic mouse pad, which lights up at the edges. It's a Razer one, you know, as in like they make headsets and whatever. So I think it's called Goliathus or something like that, this huge mouse pad. And around the edge, it's got this like light, which changes color, and you can make it go different colors depending on different things. So it's just pulsing between all the different colors all the time. And I've got a gaming keyboard, which also changes color all the time. And I've got a vertical mouse, so that instead of your hand being like downwards and normal, it's kind of on the side, which is supposed to be better for RSI and things. And then, yeah, that's what I'm looking at most of the time. I tell you what's really useful, the Apple Studio display. It's really useful that it's got the webcam built into it and does this front, center stage thing. It always puts you in the middle.
We're going to have to pause for 1 second. Sorry, I'll cut that out.
All good. So yeah, it's good to have this kind of, I know I can just turn on my machine, it's going to boot up quickly, and everything's just going to work, and I don't have to like configure Bluetooth stuff and this and that. It's really good. So I'm enjoying that. And you get a new phone in the last 6 months?
Yeah. So I replaced the battery on my Pixel 4a twice. So that means it went through three batteries, finally had to get a new one because basically the battery was lasting like an hour if I used my phone at all. So I just got, for my birthday last year, I got a Pixel 7a, which is great. I like the Pixels. I've had, had a Pixel 1, a Pixel 2, had the Pixel 2 for a really long time. Then I got the Pixel 4a. I had that for a good 6-7 years. I don't actually know. I think the 8a is probably already out, but the A series is like the slightly less expensive one. And it's, I mean, you know, for, it does all the things. I don't need anything more powerful than that. I don't actually understand why people buy like twice the price for like the regular Pixel or like iPhones, the Pro version. Like, who needs a Pro version?
People who like showing that they've got a Pro version and spend a lot of money.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. So I've got a Google Pixel 6, but the reason I bought this was specifically because it is compatible with something called Graphene OS, which is a hardened version of Android. And so you can run it completely Google-free, but I don't because we use Google at work and stuff. So, but you can put all the Google stuff in a sandbox and it works perfectly. But it means that it gives you very granular controls over like location access. And because it's running stuff in a sandbox and not just allowing everything through, the battery life is incredible. Like, this is going to be 2 years old and I've used it every day quite a lot. I've tethered with it and all that kind of stuff. And the phone battery still lasts more than a day. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. What else have I gotten recently? Well, I'm still... still on my PlayStation 4. everybody else has now upgraded. So, dear listener, Doug and I play PlayStation together with a couple of other folks, usually on a Sunday night. It is hilarious. And yeah, everybody else has now upgraded to the PS5, but I have not, still not. I was thinking about doing that this year, possibly.
I think
that there's a new Grand Theft Auto coming out this year and it only works on the PS5. And I was a huge GTA fan up until I started playing Assassin's Creed. And now I've been on Assassin's Creed. But I play like one big open world game in the winter when it's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think maybe this year, it seems like this year there's a lot of stuff I need to replace for one reason or another. So I said about the ebook reader kind of conking out. The monitor thing was also, you know, there's only so much you can come to work every day and have a line across your monitor before you're like, you know what, maybe I should replace this. And now like the phone I got just last year, I feel like my tech purchases are piling up and I always feel a bit... guilty isn't the right word. I don't like to have the newest of the new for like, I am climate conscious. So like, I feel like for me, like playing into consumerism, getting the newest thing, it just makes me feel not great. And it seems like that feeling has kept me from purchasing new tech equipment, a lot. And now I'm getting to the point where if I don't do it, then I just don't have a device, whatever that device is.
Well, I remember reading Balthazar Gracian, the 17th century Jesuit philosopher, and he said something like, some people kind of delight in the mediocrity of their tools as if it like shows them to be a better person. But actually, I've forgotten the exact words he uses, but basically he pours scorn on people who are like, oh, look at me, I'm just using like, these tools, not the best ones or whatever. And I thought, yeah, I've done that before. So now I just get the best stuff and expense it through my business. I'm just like, whatever, don't care. About the e-reader.
Ouch.
Ouch.
is that directed? Huh?
It okay. Wasn't directed at you. It was just...
But that's fine.
I recognized it in myself. And so, yeah.
But it's like, you know, like... I think that, we are climate conscious and it's just at what point does the reflection that you do internally, where does it actually play out and change your behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I really struggle with, is like, I'm quite aware of a lot of things, but I also know that I behave differently than what my values are. And so it's trying to strike that balance between thinking you're a good person and being a good person. And that's not like a, that's not a comment on like, oh, if you got a nice monitor, then you're not a good person because you're a consumerist. That's not, you know, that's not the direction, but it's something that I struggle with internally.
Can I trot out the line, there is no ethical consumption in capitalism, which I think is true.
Yeah. Yes. Good line.
But on the e-reader thing, so I used to use a Kindle, then I used this open source one from Spain, which actually one of my kids has got now. And then I got this Books, B-O-O-X, Books Note Air 2, last year or the end of the year before. Maybe I've had 2 years. And it's Android-based, which means you can run like a web browser in it, and you can save things to Pocket and read Pocket in there, and you can have different reading apps. And so I read a lot of my ebooks through Google Books, which is installed on there.
Uh-huh.
Now, as you know, Laura, I've got extremely sensitive eyes. I've got thin corneas, very blue eyes, and so I get a lot of glare. So there's only so much. I have to like shift all the color temperature on my screens and do all that kind of stuff. So especially in the morning or late at night, like I need to read stuff on that e-ink screen. And because I can go in a web browser on it, it means I can actually do kind of work-related things or study or whatever at a time when I just can't physically look at a screen. I can look at the... Yeah. The e-ink screen, which is pretty
and
good.
And does it, I mean, I'm on the website, but I'm lazy, hashtag lazy web. I'll just ask you, does it support all the different ebook formats? Because that was one of the big, because I was like, well, I mean, I try not to use Amazon at all anyways, which is why I never had a Kindle. But the other thing about the Kindle was like, I don't like being locked into one format. Because I like to read like a lot of like indie writers too. And sometimes people just, you know, they don't know what the difference is between an EPUB or a Mobi or a PDF or whatever. So,
well, because it's Android, you can install the Kindle app if you want to. Mm-hmm. You can install the Google Books app. It natively allows you to open almost anything. You can install any ebook app. I use one called Readly. I've got The Guardian on there. Loads of stuff. It's great. The only thing is, like it comes with a cover. It's pretty expensive, but I use it every day quite a lot. And again, it was a business expense. Because it's like 10.2 inches, like it's the size of an iPad kind of thing.
Like
there's something different about holding, it's heavier and more awkward to like change pages and stuff. It's a two-handed job rather than a one-handed job, which when you're lying in bed reading and your hands are cold is a thing.
Yeah. I'm also like, I'm quite attached to smaller devices. That's one of the reasons that I didn't upgrade my phone, actually, because the Pixel 7a is ever so slightly bigger than the 4a, and I thought that like I would have a problem getting used to it. It's fine now after 6 months. But I mean part of the reason that I haven't replaced my Kobo yet is because I really like the size. It's like you can read with, it's super lightweight. It's waterproof, which is important for me. And you can read, like I can read it with one hand. I really like
that. Waterproof is important for you because you read in the rain or the bath or you're just very sweaty.
It's my sweat problem. That's what it is. I sweat profusely while I'm sitting here doing nothing. And that's why I need a waterproof. So I'm often on the water because I am a water rat. I go on boats quite a bit.
When you're sailing, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm a diver. So, you know, being on a little rib and being able to read when you're on the boat for 45 minutes before you get to the dive location is kind of cool. And in the winter time, I take a lot of baths. It's like a mental health thing. It's a comfort thing. I basically don't shower in the winter. I just take baths, which is weird to say today because I totally took a shower this morning.
One of the things I've noticed, because we're currently, as we're recording this, we're currently renting a house and we've, you know, hopefully moving soon this year. But the process of moving, it reminds me that I used to sell a lot of stuff on eBay, and then eBay became just like an awkward place to sell stuff because the buyers become awkward and they try and get discounts and whatever. So I've got all of this stuff. And one of the things I've got is a Kobo Mini. Did you ever see those?
No.
It's a tiny little e-reader, which I got for my daughter when she was just like getting started. It turns out it was even too small for her when she was like 8. But I sometimes think, oh, wouldn't it be cool to just like have that in my pocket to read stuff every now and again? But then who am I kidding? I am always at home. Like I only go out to like take my kids to sporting activities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't really carry my e-reader around all that much either. I have more flashes, but it is really nice whenever I travel. Like, we were in Vienna for the EPIC conference at the end of last year. I have my e-reader with me. Every night before I went to sleep, I was reading quite a bit. I was reading 2 books at the time. And actually Vienna is the reason that I got an e-reader in the first place, because in 2018, I was reading 3 books, had to go to a conference, couldn't decide which one to take. And so I took all 3 of them and then I bought 5 books. And then I had 8 books, while I was on a train from Vienna to come back home, and I could not lift my suitcase into thing. And I was like, okay, now carrying around 8 books when you're gone from home for literally 4 days is a little over the top. So, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. I got to figure out what I'm going to buy here for an e-reader. So thanks for the note on the books note air team. I'm going to read about that and I'll put in a link.
I think there might even be a new one of that as well.
Yeah, I just saw on the Kobo website, there's also a new Kobo, so I need to do some research.
Ideally, what I would like for this screen in front of me now, this 5K, for whatever it's worth, Apple Studio display, whatever, I'd like to be able to press a button and for it to change to color e-ink. That's what I'd ideally like.
Yeah.
But there we go. Right, what should we talk about next? We've got stuff about, oh, I don't know.
There's so much random on this list. Yeah, I don't know. It would be cool if, like, right now a reader would call in and be like, hey, can you guys just tell us about X? And we'd be like, oh, yeah, we have plenty of stuff to tell us about that.
Okay,
we should get more reader interaction this year or this season.
Yes, we should do.
I said reader interaction.
But listener.
Although we are doing transcripts now, so
could be a reader. We are. So the International Monetary Fund, that terrible organization, has said that AI is set to affect nearly 40% of all jobs.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly, I was wondering about our work. So I think I said this in our meeting earlier. Like, I've noticed that there's a lot of awesome people in my network who would usually just be like, oh, it's my last day at X company and I'll tell you where I'm going to be like next week. And then they just start the next one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more people who are just like finished their work. Either they've been let go or they've decided to leave for whatever reason. And they're just not picking up another job easily. And also there's a lot of consultants who haven't got enough client work. And like we've got some spare capacity at the moment. And I wondered to what extent that's to do with organizations thinking, oh, I'm just going to use AI for this. Like Duolingo apparently fired a lot of its translators and is just using a lot of AI.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Yep. I'll find the thing.
Yeah. I'm definitely noticing an uptick of like open to work avatars on LinkedIn. Maybe I should do that. Like, that's what we should do. We should put open to work and see if anybody, does that work? The little green banner thing that you put on your LinkedIn profile that like superimposes. So. I'm going to turn it on after we get off the phone here. I actually have a couple of friends who have been looking for work for quite some time, not exactly our industry, but I think that the economy is just in a bit of a tailspin at the moment here in Western Europe, there in the UK and in the United States. I don't know whether or not it has to do. I don't know. I don't think it has that much to do with AI because you still need people that can actually you know, use AI. Like, you can't just like take an entire team of people in the marketing department and replace them with AI without like having somebody there to A, prompt the AI, B, check what it spits out, you know, can you?
Like, I'm not going to make any disparaging comments about marketing departments I've worked with before. But like I was in a supermarket this morning, local supermarket this morning, and you know, as almost everywhere, they've replaced in the last 10 years, I would say, all of the people working on the checkout with like two people working on the checkout and one person supervising the self-checkout. So mm-hmm. the labor has been externalized to us, which I don't.
Like, I'm sure that there's like studies on the impact of that, specifically like self-checkout. I'm sure that I've seen them and I can't recall any of the numbers, but that might be something to like rabbit hole on. Because I know that I've read that it's not like self-checkouts didn't necessarily make it. It's not necessarily like making the profit margin of the supermarket better. Because with self-checkout then comes like jobs like making sure the self-checkout actually scans things and fixing it when the tapes are broken or whatever.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think a fulfilling job for most people. I mean, some people, like, I'm sure enjoy scanning stuff and being on there and, oh, it's like my retirement job. But I don't see, like, every, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a job that people should aspire to potentially. But I do like being able to scan things quickly and get out of the shop as fast as
I love can. Using the self-scanner, but also one of my first jobs was as a cashier at a grocery store, and I absolutely loved that job. Now, I was 16 years old, and I was getting my own money, you know, like being paid to scan things, but also I was, I used to be a lot more of an extrovert than I am now, and I very much enjoyed talking to the customers. I won't say which chain I work for, but I did. So big shopping chains have something in their budget called shrinkage. It's the amount of money that they lose to people stealing from them. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to report that I helped that grocery store shrink. It was a corporate chain of grocery stores that I worked for. And they had a program, a welfare program, which was called Women with Infant Child, the WIC program. They would get these cards, people on the program get these cards, and they could only buy a certain brand of cereal, a certain brand of milk, whatever, like eggs, you know, nothing extraneous. And it happened all the time that they just didn't know that they couldn't buy, you know, the milk with the little cow. They had to buy the milk with the, you know, the other cow or whatever. And so they would come to the register with the wrong milk, and it was the, you know, 20 cents more expensive milk. And I would just like, whatever, I don't care. I'm just going to go ahead and scan this. I also gave away quite a few filet mignons, but that is another story entirely.
Well, exactly. Where should we go to next? There's some stuff about copyright and AI.
Definitely like a ramble chat. Loving it.
What's ZollAuction.de?
Oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. So Zoll in German is customs. This is one of my favorite websites. This is a auction website like eBay, basically, except that it's all from the customs office. So these things that they are selling are things that they have repossessed because somebody didn't pay the proper tax, the proper customs fee. And you can find the weirdest stuff on this. So if you just look at the top auctions, like, so on the front page, there's a Dodge Charger, a Sony PlayStation 5, and a bronze sculpture on a marble base. And if you just like, so what I like to do is I like to flip through and come up with stories about how people actually got into the situation where their old timer tractor was repossessed. That's probably not a good example given the state of Germany and the protests that are going on right now. But sometimes there's some really funny stuff, you know, like one time there was like a man and a woman's mink coats that had been repossessed, and the woman's was a XX, or no, the man's was a XXL and the woman's was a XXS. And I was just like, that is a great, how that is a very interesting set of mink coats.
And that's a fascinating thing to do. That shows how much you are kind of a writer and storyteller. And that would be a great prompt, wouldn't it, for lots of people?
Yeah, I've literally been thinking about doing short stories based on this because a couple weeks ago I was on the site and there was like a slew of gold platinum records from German rappers that had like 15 minutes of fame in like the early 2000s. And it was like three or four gold records from these quote unquote famous German rappers. And I had no idea who they were, but a friend of mine was like, oh my God, that's so weird, because I was like showing the website. Yeah. And told me about the fact that the one of the German rappers had definitely had some sort of like mafia, Berlin mafia, Lebanese mafia job, and that's how he got famous. And so then I went down into the Wikipedia rabbit hole and I was like looking up all these crazy German rappers that, you know, and their gold records were on the customs auction.
See, this is what the internet is for. It's not for TikTok videos. No. It's for like finding some weird stuff and then going down a rabbit hole. That's what it's all about.
All right. Okay. So here, look at this one, because this is amazing. Hold on. I'm going to send you this link in Slack. There you go. There is on this website that the customs folks have repossessed a rainbow design parachute combination suit. It's like a wingsuit, costs $150, has rainbow colors. I mean, like, what is the story behind getting your rainbow color parachute wingsuit taken away from you? This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a wingsuit. Do you think it works?
Well, there's one way to find out. I did see, actually, and I won't be able to find this again very easily, but it had a list of all the different kind of things you could do, which would be considered some form of extreme sport. And it was number of fatalities per a number of average fatalities per hour spent doing that sport. And wingsuit use and gliding was like number one most likely to make you die.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It's so weird because like in a lot of video games, the wingsuit is like the best thing to have.
Have you ever, there's a game. So I, at the start of the pandemic, Hannah said this, my wife said this was a stupid thing to do. I bought one of those. It wasn't the Oculus one. It was the one which was bought by Facebook, but just the one where you could you had to connect it to your phone. How does it work? It wasn't one where you just put your phone in the thing. It was like a separate device, but it didn't have like all of the different sensing things. It wasn't like a Oculus Rift or anything. But before I sold that, when you had to log in with Facebook, because I don't have a Facebook account. But that one had a game where you were in a wingsuit going down a hill or mountain, and that was insane amounts of fun.
But you don't have that anymore, do you?
No, like I said, I sold it when you had to log in using Facebook.
Oh, right. I see that they have another platinum award on this auction website from that guy. So now I'm reminded of his name. And when you're randomly curious about the mafia and the German rappers, then there's a Wikipedia article for you. Because why not? Why not?
Cool.
Well, this has been really fun. I feel like this was a very productive podcast that we just did.
Care if anyone listens to this, to be quite honest. I think it's a nice way for us to end a Thursday.
Maybe we should just do this for like all of season 9. We just say, you know, we start recording Thursday afternoon, hang out, share some random things. I mean, that, you know, I think that most of the links we shared are pretty evergreen.
Mm-hmm. So for context,
Laura, I definitely go to the customs office auction site pretty regularly.
For context, Laura doesn't work Fridays, so Thursday afternoons is our last kind of interactions of the week. And sometimes it's a bit weird because we have like a client meeting and then we just say goodbye and then it's kind of it. So this would be a nice way to finish things off. Are there any other links there that we should include in this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a question for you, Laura. Have you, I know that you looked at Blue Sky, that kind of Twitter replacement at some point, but have you looked at it recently?
So this woman who works in our field, Laura Olin, she took a bit of a break from writing and has sent a couple of newsletters in the last couple of months. And one of the recent ones, she said that she was one of the people that didn't know where to go when Twitter essentially collapsed, and that now she's sort of feels like she's found her home on Blue Sky. But I still haven't looked into it at all. Are you on Blue Sky?
I'm just re-downloading the app. I decided to not use it because I thought, I'm not sure that I, like, they still haven't federated with anything. They've got a different protocol to the Fediverse, yada, yada, yada. So I am on there, but I haven't been on there, if you see what I mean, for a while. I'm re-downloading it now anyway.
Yeah, I've started to get really annoyed with all of the various internet services where you can't even see what something is like without giving your data. So if you go to Blue Sky, you can't see anything about it until you make an account. And I've started to just not bother. Like, if I'm not even allowed to, like, if I have to go look for a screenshot of the app because I can't even get an example on your homepage, then I'm probably not going to sign up.
But I have just put a link in the chat. Like, they've launched RSS feeds, which means you can subscribe to accounts without having an account on Blue Sky, which might be quite useful.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But then how many people are putting their Blue Sky accounts on their profiles? I don't know.
No,
I think
idea.
Matt Jukes, who, just to bring this full circle, Matt Jukes, who we talked about at the start of this podcast, who's been on our podcast before, I think he talks about using it a lot. And I think a lot of, like, the OpenGov kind of people who are very active on Twitter are using it. But I'm going to get back into here and let's see. Oh, I've got 13 notifications.
Ooh.
Guess what I'm doing this afternoon?
Answering people who contacted you eons ago on Blue Sky and then you just ignored because you uninstalled the app?
I hadn't had such a fully formed thought, but yes.
All right, well, then let's wrap up the podcast because we're almost to 45 minutes and I couldn't tell you what we talked about other than custom auction sites and a random bunch of stuff around hardware. So, yeah, welcome to season 9, everyone. See you next time.
Well, you can't finish like that, you see, Laura, because you have to do some kind of audience request for feedback, like a call to action. So you have to say, like and subscribe. Or you have to say, please leave us a review on some kind of app store or follow us on some social network or get in touch if anything resonated with today or if you'd like to hire us to do some stuff. So that's my 5 calls to action. There we go.
Cool. I'll listen back to this bit and put some links in the pad so that that's easy for listeners.
Very good.
Right on. Okay. Bye, everyone. Now.